Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. We're beginning a short series on the book of Joshua, and we'll be covering chapter 1 this morning. I didn't realize, one of the elders asked me, said, is there more than one message in Joshua chapter 1? I said, no, I'm going to cover all of it. Well, that's a mistake, first mistake. But anyway, we'll try to get through it this morning. If we don't get through all of it, that's all right. The subject that I put on chapter 1 is a pattern for God's blessing, or how God communicates. Now let's talk about the communication first, and then we'll go to the pattern of God's blessing. But God communicates in different ways. He communicates by nature. Heavens declare the glory of God. He communicates by circumstances. He communicates through His Word. He communicates through the prophets in the past. He's communicating today through His Son. But He also communicates another way, which is slightly different, and that'll bring us into the pattern for God's blessing. Here's the outline this morning. God speaks to a man, Joshua. Joshua takes that message and speaks to the people. And then the people communicate that all over. And that's the pattern for God's blessing. That's the way God works today in bringing blessing into our lives. God was getting ready to bring one of the biggest blessings in the history of Israel upon Israel. The promise went all the way back almost to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 12, when God promised blessing to Abraham, He promised a great nation to Abraham, and He promised land to them. God had blessed them for 40 years in the wilderness. God had blessed them in every way. He'd been tolerant with their misbehavior. And He'd also given Abraham a great family. What a big family came out of Egypt. But He hadn't given them the land yet. And He's getting ready to put a great blessing upon that nation. He's going to give them the land that He promised Abraham. And so what does He do? He communicates with a man. That man communicates it to the people, and the people spread it. And that's the way it works, folks. That's the way it works in churches. That's the way it worked thousands of years ago when this was written. That's the way it works. God communicates with a man. And it starts there. Now the book of Joshua, which we're going to take up, is a book of conquest. Israel went in and won the land for themselves, or God won it for them. It's a book of obedience. Israel was obedient to God. It's a book of fulfillment of promise. We've just gone through that. God had promised this. And so we see this fulfillment of that promise. But it's also a book where victory comes through faith and not by great military power or superiority of numbers. As we get into those passages where they actually took the land, it's an amazing. It's just something that's never occurred before or after, I think, in the history of battle. That a nation walks in and just takes over like a bunch of little lambs. They walk in and take over. And so it's a wonderful book that we can learn from, and we can apply it to our lives today. And that's what I desire to do this morning. This, I hope, will be a challenge to you. Hope this will be a challenge to every man and woman that calls this a church home. This book shows the pattern of how God's going to bless this church, how God is going to bless any church. God's going to speak to one of you in the days to come. As He does, you're going to get excited about what He speaks to you about, and you're going to start telling others. And they're going to get excited, and they're going to start telling others, and something wonderful we'll see happen before our eyes. But the first point we want to make this morning is that God speaks to Joshua, and that's in verses 1 through 9. And God's message, we see, was first of all timely. Look at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Let me tell you something. When we're walking around and everything's going well and there's plenty of money in the bank and all the family's well and there's no sickness and everything's rosy, I'll be the first to admit that sometimes I think, hey, everything's going great. Good morning, Lord. See you tonight. When trouble comes, when sadness comes, when sorrow comes, when something occurs that I know that I can't handle, instinctively I look up and say, Lord, I need your help. That's exactly what God was telling Israel, Moses, my servant, is dead. But it's also, we see it's also appropriate. We see that in verse 2. Not only timely, but it's appropriate. God is bringing reality into the heart of Joshua. Joshua knew that Moses was dead. Joshua was a smart guy. He knew that Moses was dead. You know, we know a lot of things we need to be reminded of. And the older I get, the more I realize that I know that I need to be reminded of. And God came to Joshua in verse 2 and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Here's the reality of the situation. God's plan goes on. It doesn't matter how things go as far as the timetable of the world's concerned. God's plan's going to go on. I want to read something to you. Moses, my servant, is dead. Way back in an obscure passage in Ezekiel, we read, this is God speaking. So I sought for a man among men who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. God was looking for a man to stand in the gap, to stand in the gap for him. And that's exactly the idea that's coming across to Joshua. And Joshua took the challenge and great things happened and God's blessing flowed forth as a result of Joshua's reaction to what God had to say. 40 years of leadership is gone, Joshua. Some of you that are younger don't appreciate the fact of that. But as I think of all the lessons that I've learned, there's some value to experience. I know it's not the total thing, not the total picture, but there's value to it. And 40 years of experience was gone. 40 years of leadership was gone out of the nation of Israel. And Joshua needed to be reminded of it. I haven't seen this lately, but you used to go into post offices and you'd see a picture up on the wall and it'd say wanted for bank robbery, usually a tax evasion or something like that, some federal crime. I guess they still do that. But God would put up today a sign that says wanted. Wanted a man, wanted a woman. Just willing to stand in the gap. Just willing to get the job done. Two families went on vacations, two couples, and it could have been a cruise, it could have been at a location, it doesn't matter, but they met each other, and they immediately struck it off. The two husbands had a lot in common, and the two wives had a lot in common, and it was just a great situation. And so they really started doing everything together. And so about halfway through the week, the first fella asked the guy, said, how long are you all staying? He said, for a week. He said, oh my goodness, we're staying for 2 weeks. And so anyway, as the week started to come to an end, the man staying for 2 weeks came to the man staying for a week and said, look, said, why don't you stay for 2 weeks? Man, we're having such a great time. Stay for the second week. The fellow said, no, I don't think I can. I said, oh, go ahead and call them up and tell them. I said, they'll never miss you. And the first guy said, that's exactly what I'm worried about. Ask yourself the question, would you be missed in this church if you were gone? I don't want to get sentimental, but I hope that when I'm gone, that I'll be missed. And each one of us ought to take the same attitude today. It was not only appropriate, the message of God, it was commanding. I want you to look at verse 2 there. We read, arise and go. Arise and go. This is a call to action that's occurring here. There's a song that we're going to paraphrase that's very appropriate here. Give me some men who are Christ-loving men who will stand for the Lord they adore. Start me with 10 who are Christ-loving men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. That's what God is talking about when he comes to Joshua. That's what God is talking about when he speaks to us through the creation, through the scriptures, through hearing someone preach. God starts to speak to our hearts. And suddenly God raises up a man or a woman and something good happens. But God's message was also promising. We see in verses 3 through 5, it promised land, but it must be possessed. You know, hey, you can have this, but you got to go get it. You got to occupy it. If you want land, you've got to get into it. It promised victory in verse 5, and it promised assistance also in the latter part of verse 5. Moses failed God, but God never failed Moses. God was there. God was his assistant. God was assisting him in everything he did. And God caused Moses to be victorious, not because Moses was so faithful, but because God was so faithful. Very key. Promising. But it was inspiring also. In verses 6, 7, and 9. We see this basically the same expression occurring in verses 6, 7, and 9. And what it says is, be strong and courageous. God's telling Joshua, look, you're getting ready to, something wonderful is getting ready to happen. I want you to be strong, though. There's going to be some difficulties. I want you to be courageous. This ain't going to be a tea party we're going to. Be strong and be courageous. Now, why do I call it inspiring? It's a challenge with a promise. I don't know whether y'all like challenges, but I do. You do this, we'll give you a bonus. You get this done, and you get a longer vacation. When I was working my way through college in the summer, I had a summer job. We had several different straw bosses, but one got more work out of the people than anybody else, in my opinion. He would go to the ice house on Monday morning, and he would put a big watermelon in the freezer there at the ice house. And he would say, when the work gets done this week, whenever you get it done, so we're going to go get that watermelon and we're going to get in a shade tree and take the rest of the day off. During that whole time, we never had a Friday afternoon that the job hadn't been done that week. We had others that said, hey, you got to do it all the time. And we'd be working up till 5 o'clock and still not get everything done on Friday afternoon. You see, a challenge with a reward, and that's what God is giving here, is very inspiring to a lot of people. in these verses, in verse 6, we see a promise has been made. We see the Lord's promise, and it stresses prosperity. In verse 7, we see a law has to be obeyed, and we see his precepts and obedience is stressed there in that category. In verse 9, we see that God is with you. We see his presence, and the stress is on support. This is the message that God's given to Joshua. His presence. Remember when the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The king comes the next day to see their bodies, the ashes. He looks down, he sees the three boys standing around. But he also sees one other person, like the Son of Man. God was with them. That's the Old Testament. The New Testament, Paul could say, in my first offense, no one stood with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Look, this is inspiring when we realize that God is with us. What a wonderful truth. But the message was also revealing. God reveals to us the secret of success in verse 8. You want to know how to be successful? You want to know how to be successful in life? You want to know how to be successful in a Christian life? Here it is. And it all involves the Word of God. Look at verse 8. The Word is to be spoken. We're to gossip the gospel. We're to quote the gospel. We're to talk about the Word of God. The Word of God is to be spoken. The Word of God is to be thought upon. It should be the constant subject of mental exercise. Sometimes I get my mind on all kind of other things, and I realize that what I need to do is go back and meditate upon the Scriptures. That's the way to be successful. And then finally, the Word is to be obeyed. It's to be spoken, it's to be thought upon, it's to be obeyed. And what's the answer? Prosperity and success follow the man who speaks and meditates and obeys the Word of God. I mean, all these how-to books. Hey, here's the way, here's a how-to. How-to. This is a way to get it done. God speaks to Joshua. But then we see that Joshua communicates the message to the people. Every time I hear something good, I've got to tell somebody. Back when the girls were young and Gail didn't get out to, and some of you ladies will understand that, didn't get out to all the services, I would hear something good at church, and I would come home, and she was the first person that heard. Told her what I'd heard. Hey, this was good. So-and-so did this. The Lord was lifted up in this way. This is what we ought to do. This is what we shouldn't do. This is the way we're to react the way Joshua did. Now, Joshua's message was very, very similar to what the Lord had told him. First of all, it was stimulating in verse 11. There was a sense of urgency here. Within 3 days. Hey, this is no 5-year plan that's being laid out here. This is no 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Hey, within 3 days, get ready. The army was alerted. Get ready. Speaking of alerts, the army being alerted reminds me when I was in basic training. And we'd been there about 3 weeks. And I mean, what a bunch of incompetence. I mean, we were bad. A few of us had college educations. Most had high school educations. A few didn't even have that. So we weren't a well-educated group as a company, about 100, I guess. And I don't know what time it was, but I think 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we'd had a hard day, which every day in basic training is a hard day physically and mentally on you. And I was really snoozing. And suddenly a whistle blew, and the lights went on in the barracks. And sergeant came in and said, "Get everything that you own, put in your duffel bag, and be out on the street in 5 minutes. Well, I went to my locker, and, you know, duffel bag's about that big. And, I mean, all the equipment, all the everything I had went in the duffel bag except my rifle. And so we got that and hit the street. Well, it was misting at the basic training site and all that. But what was happening, a hurricane had hit down on either the Florida or the Louisiana coast. I forget where it was now, but it doesn't matter. But this had hit, and they told us that you all are on alert, said at any time we could be called to go down there and help those people out. And I thought about it later. If we had gone down, we'd have probably killed more people than we helped out. It's such an incompetent group. But I think that was part of the training. I mean, I don't think they would have taken a raw group like that and sent them down on a rescue mission because we didn't know what was going on. But that was part of the training. Hey, when you get more experience, it's going to be 3 o'clock in the morning when something bad happens, and hey, you're going to be put on alert. Well, the Army of Israel was put on the alert. They were alerted. They were stimulated. Hey, we're going to do something. We're going to do it quickly. It was also demanding, we see in verses 10 and 11. Notice the word commanded in verse 10. Command the people in verse 11. Prepare. Possess. You're getting all these action verbs brought up to us here. So it was demanding, but it was also promising. Notice down in verse 11 what we read. Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days we'll cross over the Jordan to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord your God is giving you the land. But a gift must be received. They could have said, "Oh no, we don't want it." Well, hey, we want it, but we aren't willing to do whatever you want us to do. But it was promising. But it was also thought-provoking. Look at verse 13. And this is a powerful verse here. Verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, "The Lord is giving you rest and giving you this land." I don't know how you feel, but nobody could say anything better about me than I was a servant of the Lord. I mean, you can be the most faithful employee in the world. You can win employee of the month every month of the year. That doesn't equate to being a servant of the Lord. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. A servant of the Lord. Remember Moses. Remember Moses, the great leader. Remember Moses, the servant of the Lord. Remember the man whom God spoke to face. God is giving rest, and God is giving the land to you. Remember this. God promised Moses he's going to give it to you. But it's also motivating, we find the latter part of verse 15. There's a key word there that you'll find. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it. Now, the U.S. is obsessed with pleasure, entertainment, and excitement. I mean, if it's dull and boring, I don't want to hear it. You want to see some enjoyment, some excitement? There's no pleasure in the world like deep-seated joy. Working on something very hard for a long time and seeing it produce. Seeing it serve the purpose for which you designed it. Seeing that come to fruition. There's a joy, there's an enjoyment about that that you can't describe. It doesn't get any better than that. And that's what God is telling. That's what Joshua is telling the people. Hey, you're getting ready. You've been through a lot. But you're getting ready to get in and enjoy and possess what God has promised you. But then we come to the third point this morning. We see that God speaks to Joshua. Joshua communicates the message to the people. And finally, the people are continuing to spread the message. That's in verses 16 to 18. The people's message, or the people's response, was positive to start off with in verse 16. Notice these words, will do, will go. And I've written down in my notes, whatever, wherever. Whatever you want us to do, wherever you want us to go, Joshua. We will go and we will do. There's no contingencies here. There's no, hey, we'll do this if you up us. We'll do this if things go well. We'll be with you if. No contingencies. Hey, we'll go and we'll do. Whatever, whenever. That's the response. They were also submissive in the first part of verse 17. We will heed you. Submission is hard for everybody, probably, but a lot of people it's harder than others to be submissive. When somebody's telling you the right thing, when God is impressing upon you that what they're telling you is right, the reaction is to be submissive. Hey, we're listening. We'll do it. But it's also instructive. They tell Joshua, say, God be with you, Joshua. Go with God. That's the contingency. Hey, we're willing to follow. But Joshua, you follow. You follow the Lord the way Moses did. But then in verse 18, we see that their response or their message was punitive. Death for disobedience. Now I know that's culturally out of our scope. But what it illustrates is the seriousness of disobedience. When God has spoken to a man, when that man has taken the word of God and given it to the people, and the people aren't obedient, they realize it. Like Alice in Wonderland went off with his head. Disobedience is a serious thing. It's something that all of us ought to be concerned about. But lastly, the people's message was repetitive. Look at the last sentence. Joshua, only be strong and of a good courage. Only be strong and courageous, Joshua. Have you heard that before? God spoke it three times to Joshua. And now the people are reaffirming it to him. They've gotten the message. The cycle is completed. God has spoken to a man. A man has spoken to the people. The people are spreading the word. The cycle is completed. It's what God wanted. Now, I hope you thought this is an interesting story. I really enjoyed reading this story again and was really impressed again with the power of it. But, you know, we can say that was an interesting story. Hey, that was great. See you later. Have a good week. Or we can start to look around this local church and say, what is being done now that could be done better? I volunteer. What is not being done that should be done? I've got some leadership ability. I'm willing. See, God can speak to your heart. And God can burden you. And God can change this whole church as a result of it. Let me give you two quick examples. Some years ago, and I'm going to give you two examples, and you say, hey, you're going to tell us what the men have done. No, I'm not. Sadly, I'm not. I could, but I'm not. I'm going to give you an example of what two women did. One's got little children, preschool, and she's having a struggle with preschool children. Every mother here understands. And she said, you know, I've heard about this Mothers for Preschoolers. And I'm going to start that in this church. And she did. And week after week after week, more and more people got involved in this ministry. I was asked to come and talk to them about something that I'm supposed to be expert on. I don't know if I am or not, but I have some knowledge of anyway, and I came and spoke to them. So men and women and boys and girls were involved. And God chose to save some of those women. One of the key families in this church now was saved during that time. Another example. Years before that, a young lady came into our church, and she was very talented musically, and she was very talented in dramas. And so what she did, she put on about two or three a year, and she was here maybe for 3 years. She would write a musical, put a drama together with it, and have a presentation on Friday and Saturday night, when we only had the building back there. You know me, I would come Friday and Saturday night. Every time we had to bring in extra chairs. Because a lady had a vision, God had spoken to her and said, do this. And she did it, and God blessed. This can happen again. Lord, do it again. That should be our prayer. And look, don't get me wrong, I'm real impressed with some of the people that I see involved here. You don't know, but we're watching sometimes and we see where you're involved. And I think that's a good thing. But maybe you can get more involved, or maybe someone that's not involved can get involved. When God speaks to you, tell the people. If God has spoken to you, the people will get excited about it, and they'll tell others. And suddenly, you'll have a group to get something done for God. When the first London Crusade took place in London with Billy Graham, he gave the invitation, as he does every night, There was one man that stood out above all others. 6'6", 220 or 30 pounds, perfect specimen of humanity. Came forward with his head bowed. You looked at his face, and it was weather-beaten and sunburned. A man who had obviously spent a lot of time out. And he went forward that night and trusted Christ. Somebody asked him later, said, "John," this was Sir John Hunt. He had been knighted by the Queen because he and another man had climbed to the top of Everest together. Said, "John," said, "why were you going forward?" Said, "you've got everything." He said, "I was climbing the wrong mountain." I understand the pressures of life. I understand the pressures of a family, a job. I've been there and done that. But sometimes we're climbing the wrong mountain. And God wants to speak to us and tell us that we ought to get involved in something. And we'll see things happen. I'll close with this. To every man that opens a way and ways and a way. The high soul climbs the high way. The low soul gropes the low. And in between on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. But to every man that opens a highway and a low, and every man determines the way his soul shall go. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you for the way you've blessed us. Lord, we only return to you what you've given us. We're very, very thankful for your love to us and the way you've taken care of us and the way you've provided for our needs, the way you've given us land and blessing and families. Lord, we're very grateful. Lord, we ask you to do it again. We ask you to give us more. We ask you to raise up in our midst. And some of us are getting older, Lord, somebody to stand in the gap, somebody to take a place, somebody to do a job for you. Lord, you're looking for a man. You're looking for a woman. And maybe you aren't finding any. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Lord, we never get too old. Caleb accomplished great things for you when he was in his 80s. Lord, help us. Help each one of us this day to say, where do I fit? What can I do? And have you speak to us and spread the word and get others involved and see something good happen for your kingdom. This is our prayer, Lord. We ask your blessing upon us now as we separate in Jesus' name. Amen.